Good morning. 6:42 a.m. Oh my God, 6:42. Holy crap. Well, 18 minutes. That put me back at 7. Okay, it's Thursday. 16:12 on the front half. Not bad. Not bad, not bad. Today is the July the 8th. It is 6:42 in the a.m. I overslept. It was like almost 6 before I crawled out of bed, so it was 6:15 before I got out the door. Actually, it was a little bit later than that. But I'm moving. I'm moving. I'm moving. Yesterday was completely, and I do mean completely, taken up with fighting with paperback layouts. The layout that I wanted, I couldn't get. I couldn't figure out how to do it. So I've got one that I actually like pretty well, and we'll go with it. I need to work on the chapter breaks. That's the piece that's causing me some grief. I had some samples that I need to look up again. That had all of the pieces that I needed. I just needed to arrange them a little better. But a couple of the big pieces that I did get solved was how to take the sigil files, and turn them into LaTeX files so that I can then import them into Lix. Good morning. So I have to thank Anita Lewis for that. She gave me this tip months ago, and I have just gotten around to trying it out, and it works very slick. It does mean I have to take an EPUB and pass it over to my Linux machine, but it works. Dropbox is a miracle. Put it in Dropbox on my own machine. Unzip it. Actually, what I do is unzip it and then pass the HTML. Although that didn't work the first time. The second time it worked because I passed the whole EPUB and then unzipped it once I got it across. I have to remember that. I have all of the internal markup preserved, so all of the things that are italicized stayed italicized. Weird. I have a bug bite on my wrist. I had another one on my foot last night. It's actually been around for a couple of days. I don't know if I come across a mosquito today or what. Anyway, so yeah, the process is going on. I bought my ISBN lumbers last night, 100 of them. Should last me for 50 books, one for each for the paperback and hardcover. Oh, and the Captain Sharon Ravenwood at Ravenwood's, I Fear His Call, both showed up on Kobo in their catalog, even though they are not actually cleared on my dashboard, so I now have three titles stuck in publishing. Which I find exceptionally aggravating. And the Nook sales aren't updating, even though the calendar is progressing and I'm seeing new sales every day. The monthly sales report is stuck on last week. Yeah, talk about weird. This is very, very, very peculiar. Environments, and as far as I can tell, the iBooks have not yet cleared publishing. I don't use that infrastructure, so I don't see it. I suppose I could look on iBooks to see if the books actually are up, but I'm guessing that they're not. Said it usually takes up to a couple of weeks for it to happen, so okay, I can wait. The sales rank fell a little bit overnight for Amazon, which is actually pretty much expected. It's unusual for it to go up overnight. But we'll see if it can't recover a little bit. Even if it doesn't, it's selling nicely. I can't complain. So yeah, the next challenge is to get the chapter headings repaired today. Although I can't imagine that that's actually going to happen today, because I have to take my younger daughter to high school registration this morning. And that's usually at least a 2-hour, if not a 3-hour exercise. We'll be there at a few minutes before 8. Actually, I'm hoping we're going to be there at like 4:45. And while we'll have to stand in line for 15 minutes, at the door that's not open, they will open the doors eventually, and we will be able to move inside. If we wait till 8 o'clock, there'll be an hour's worth of people lined up ahead of us. This way, maybe there'll only be half an hour. Eastern turn. Oh, some of the overcast is burning off or breaking up or something. There's now this blue sky up there. Some cirrus clouds up above the hole, but it's looking quite lovely. Quite lovely, lovely, lovely. Well, the Secret Project is coming along nicely as well. I won't talk too much about it because I'm afraid I'll give it away if I talk too much about it, but I'm very pleased with the way that's working out. So, yeah, keep walking. Keep walking, keep talking, keep thinking. One of the things that I'm thinking about a lot is monk pole. One of the questions that keeps coming up over and over and over and over and over and over and over again is, how do you get an audience if you don't have an audience? It's one thing to talk to your audience, but if you don't have an audience, you're just talking to yourself. I think part of the problem has to do with that perception of talking to yourself. Is that reality would indicate that what you're doing is standing on stage, you've got bright lights in your eyes, and you can't see who's in the audience. It's dark. And you don't know if there's anybody out there or not. Because the nature of lurking, the nature of the web, is that you don't necessarily see everybody who's looking at you. So the challenge then is to write to an audience that you can't imagine being there, or perhaps that you have to imagine being there. So you don't really know who is there. And the insecurities innate in us, many of us, are such that you'll assume that there's nobody there. And so the challenge is to write to a full house. Because eventually it will be, and they'll come back and see your posts. I think I talked a little bit about this when I was talking about branding the other day. The persistence of internet content. Once it's on the internet, it doesn't go away, unlike broadcast advertisement. Oh, that's, yeah, I was trying to talk about advertising or promotion the other day. And one of the points that I probably did not make, but I meant to make, was that advertising, broadcast advertising disappeared. So once it's up, it's gone. It's ephemeral. Internet advertising, not so much. Internet advertising is a different deal. And so promotional pieces like blog posts and guest blogs and even to a certain extent tweets, they stay around for a while. They stay around for a long while. So the persistence issue is one where sometimes you'll be, I've had this happen to me, I've had it happen to other people, where you're going along and book is selling a little bit and it's not doing very much, and all of a sudden it takes a big spike and you go, what the? And if you Google a little bit, sometimes you'll find that somebody actually made a blog post, wrote a review, or made some sort of commentary on the book, and because they have a reasonably sized audience, an extra 20 or 30 people make a difference. So there's this persistence issue. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out with Google+. I'm not sure. Google+ is difficult because I need to play more in reader pools than I've been playing in communities for writers. The writer communities give me a lot to write about. They give me a lot to think about. They give me an opportunity to talk to people about broadcasting, about excess promotion. There was a Salon article from a LitFic guy who was complaining that he had alienated everyone around him and nobody wanted to talk to him anymore. And on the one hand, if it's true, then yeah, he's being kind of a dipshit. On the other side of that is it's a Salon article and he's a writer. So he could be just playing the I was such a dunce card, even though he wasn't, or hadn't been. And then, of course, at the end is the obligatory link to the book that's coming out this week. So, yeah, playing the stupid newbie trick, the stupid newbie card, will certainly get you some eyeballs and some, perhaps even a few readers. But I go back to the dancing on the coffee table with a lampshade on your head. Not all attention will get you the kinds of responses you want. Any publicity is good publicity, up to a point, I suppose. Obscurity is your enemy and all of that. However, branding is reputation. And having a reputation of wildness is perhaps fits into your brand. Perhaps that's something that you want to do. So, you know, I have to be a little bit careful about some of the things that I say here, because actually I'm not sure that I can fault it. The Encaffeinated One left me a series of tweets yesterday about being too too careful to remove voices you don't want to hear. And the problem, as she pointed out, was that you lose the opportunity for serendipity. The idea that in the newspaper, for example, and that was a good example, is that they'll tell you stuff they think you need to know, not just the stuff you want to know. But I think you do that online by following people who do have a finger on the pulse, who do find things interesting and do share them. And that they share things that you're interested in, which is not the same as saying providing good content. That's one of the things that bugs me. Well, if you provide good content, then people will follow you. Not necessarily. And I'm while that is certainly a factor, I follow a couple of people who post regular links. Okay, I'm back by 7. I've got 45 minutes, 40 minutes, 30 minutes to get this posted, and then, and get some breakfast, and make sure the daughter is moving, and roll out of here. So, I have to take the trash out. It's trash day. So, with that note, let me just say I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.